welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. Next week is Palm Sunday, but we're actually going to look at the events of Palm Sunday today. During this Lent period, we're using the book Lent and Easter for Everyone, From Wilderness to Glory by Tom Wright, and he calls us to look at the events of Palm Sunday on this week 5 of Lent, so that we can spend a longer time looking at the events of Holy Week and the crucifixion next week. So it may seem slightly strange, but we're actually going to consider what happened on Palm Sunday a week early. Palm Sunday is a day we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The heading to this passage is the triumphal entry, which I find slightly quite interesting because the record of this story told by Luke doesn't feel very triumphal. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. So Luke chapter 19, 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw the cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." In this recording of the triumphal entry, we find Jesus weeping over the city because they did not turn away from the path that led to their own destruction. As he says, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And then, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." On that day, people did not recognize who Jesus was. There were some who celebrated, laying their cloaks on the road and waving palm branches. There were some who looked on in judgment, sneering and rebuking. There were others who watched warily, wondering if this was the beginning of a revolt. So many different views on what was happening, but none truly understood. So let's listen to some of the characters' insights on the day. We start by peeking in on the perspective of one of the disciples. Oh, what a day. It has been an absolute rush of different emotions. It started when Jesus informed us we were heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, normally, I get really excited about going to Jerusalem for the Passover. There is such a celebratory buzz in the city, and we get to celebrate what God did for us during the Exodus. It is such a wonderful time. Except this time, I am really nervous about being in Jerusalem. I actually wanted to object, to tell Jesus that we should just miss it this one time. You see, it is just too dangerous. So many of the religious leaders have it out for Jesus, and as a result, they have it out for us as well. You see, they don't like what Jesus teaches, or the way he performs these amazing miracles, even on the Sabbath. That kind of just puts everyone else to shame. Honestly, I sometimes wonder if they've gotten too comfortable, stuck in their ways as the ones everyone looks up to. So when someone like Jesus comes along, they don't like it, because his teachings are new, exciting, even revolutionary. His teaching promises us that the kingdom of God is coming, that it is already here. You'd think this was something, it would be something that the super religious lot would love, but it seems to upset them, almost like they want God's kingdom to look different, to work more according to their rules. Anyway, that's why I'm nervous about being in Jerusalem. Out in the countryside, it's easier to hide, to get away from people who want to hurt you. But in the city, especially at Passover, the place is going to be packed with Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, the chief priests, all of them. And all of them seem to have it out for Jesus. So I wanted to stay safe in the countryside, but Jesus was adamant we were going to Jerusalem. Actually, now that I think about it, Jesus looked like he was preparing for something. Like, we aren't just coming for the Passover, but something else, something bigger is going to happen. Whatever it is, I'm not sure I like it. It seems serious. So anyway, we were on our way, and we got to Bethphage and Bethany, and Jesus suddenly says to Thomas and Thaddeus, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why are you untying it, say the Lord needs it." Now, this was weird. We've always travelled on foot when we've gone anywhere on land. And yeah, it is a long walk to Jerusalem. But I swear I felt more exhausted than Jesus looked. So I honestly wondered why he wanted a donkey. It was only when they brought it back and we started laying our cloaks on the ground that I remembered what Zechariah says. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." I've never felt so many different emotions as I felt today, especially in that moment. Joy and excitement, the king, the one we have all been waiting for, is here. Not only that, but I know him personally. I have been walking with this amazing person for over 3 years. How awesome is that? I don't think I will ever get over the amazement of that. But I'm also feeling fear. Now I am even more afraid for Jesus and for us. People don't realise who he is, and they want to discredit him, hurt him, even kill him. What would it mean for Israel if we kill the one we have been waiting for centuries? I will admit, I also feel a bit of doubt. Am I truly understanding this right? Was the Messiah truly sitting on a donkey riding into Jerusalem, right in front of my eyes? It all just seems so unlikely, and I can't help but feel a sliver of doubt about it. And yet, there he was, just like the prophecy said. And I mean, I have seen him perform some of the most amazing miracles that I've ever even heard about. I mean, that thing with Lazarus, where he raised him from the dead. So maybe it's not so unlikely. Maybe this truly is the Messiah who's going to save us all. I have hope, and I believe. Most of all, I trust in Jesus. If he's claiming to be the Messiah, then it must be true. The disciples hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, but they didn't really know what that meant. They expected a Messiah to overthrow the Romans and restore Israel to their own nation. When Jesus didn't match their expectations, many people who followed Jesus were left confused and disillusioned. But at least they had some idea of who Jesus was. Let's hear from someone who saw Jesus as a threat to their way of the life. So this is the perspective of a Pharisee. Just who does he think he is? Strutting around like he owns the place, like he made the world, acting as if he is God or something. Well, okay. If I'm being honest, he doesn't really strut or make big claims about who he is. Most of the time, he actually acts as if he's really humble, a nice guy. But us Pharisees are good at reading between the lines. I mean, we have to be able to interpret the law for our daily lives. So we get really good at knowing when someone is up to something or when they're hiding something. And I will tell you, there is just something different about that Jesus that I just don't understand. It's like he doesn't understand how the world works. Like today, for example. Look, I don't like having to play nice with the Romans, but it's just what we have to do if we want to have any kind of nice life. If making nice with the Romans means I get to keep my status, then I will. So, who does this man think he is, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey with a huge procession of people celebrating him as if he is some kind of king? Who does he think he's kidding? So, of course, I had to say something. Well, I couldn't say silent, could I? If the Romans got wind of this, they would be furious. And when the Romans get angry, they get violent. I had to try to stop him, to protect us all, didn't I? So I tried to reason with him. Surely any reasonable man could see that this was going to get out of hand. If the Romans saw this procession streaming into the city, they all assumed that the whole of Israel is rebelling against them. And then our lives are over, every hint of comfort and protection gone. So I said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And do you know what that man said to me? The gall of him. "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Ugh, poppycock. What absolute nonsense. Who is he, God, that he thinks creation will cry out on behalf of him? Acting as if creation itself would avenge injustice on his behalf. And just when I think I can't despise him more, he then puts on another performance. As we began to see Jerusalem, he suddenly starts weeping over the city. And not just silent tears, but great big sobs. He calls out, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you to peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Ugh! I am just so angry at his presumption. He declares judgment against Jerusalem, against us, we who have worked so hard to obey the law that it consumes us. We who have studied the scriptures and given much attention to the tradition of the fathers, it is not us that should be judged. I am still so furious that every time I think of that pretender, my heart burns with anger. Ugh, I wish he were dead. Those opposed to Jesus could not see who Jesus was and what he came to do. And so they wanted to kill Jesus because they saw him as a threat. It's interesting, isn't it? How much anger there is against Jesus from some people. Jesus is not a nobody. And so he creates some kind of reaction from people, whether it is amazement and astonishment and worship, or whether it's anger and hatred and fear. How do you react to Jesus? Now let's take a look at perspective from a Roman guard. I hate guard duty in Jerusalem during the major festivals, and I swear the Jewish festival of Passover is the worst. I am not normally stationed in Jerusalem, but extra of us soldiers are always sent to the city when there is a Jewish festival, and this is particularly so during Passover. Apparently it's a day when they celebrate being freed from Egypt by their god. Well, it didn't seem to do much good for them, did it? The reason I hate this celebration is that some Jews seem to get ideas above their station. Their celebrations of how God helped them previously makes them expect that God will free them from our rule, which is, of course, ridiculous. It's clear the gods favour us. We are the ruling power, of course. So it must mean that we are highly favoured. Anyway, I don't really care about that political stuff, really. I'm just a guard doing my duty. But I must admit, I was nervous today. I thought we were going to see another uprising from the Jews. Let me explain. There I was, beginning my normal shift, when suddenly I heard this great commotion. As I looked down the path leading up to the city, I could see this huge crowd of people. They appeared to be singing and shouting praises, which isn't too unusual. Often the Jews would come to Jerusalem singing songs of praise to their God. But this time was different. I could see them waving palm branches in the air. Some people in the crowd were running ahead to cut down more branches and then giving them to others in the crowd. And those not waving palm branches were laying their cloaks down in the road. Why were they doing all this? It all seemed to celebrate this one guy riding into the city. At first, I worried he was riding in on a mighty stallion and was going to try and take Jerusalem by force. But as they came closer, I could see he wasn't on a horse at all. He was on a donkey. And what's more, it looked like a young donkey, possibly even one that had only just grown old enough to ride. I almost laughed when I saw it. Did he think he was going to overturn the might of the Roman Empire from a donkey? Still, I stayed on alert. Even people with delusions of grandeur might cause problems if they're sneaky enough. But still, as he came past me, I heard him crying over the city. He actually spoke. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. So, it didn't seem like he was there to overthrow us. But still, there was something about him that was different somehow. I think I will have to keep an eye on this Jesus. So many people failed to recognize God's coming that day. And so many people still do not recognize God's presence with us in the world. Do we recognize the time of God's coming to us? Do we pay attention to what would bring us peace? These are important questions for us all, and yet there are so many whose eyes are hidden from the truth. How can we live recognizing the time of God's coming to us? How can we tell others about the coming of our King Jesus? We've heard the perspectives of three people in the story of Palm Sunday. But what's our story? What's our perspective on those events? On the events of Easter, on the events of how God has worked in our own lives? How can we tell our story to those that need to hear it? Let's pray. God, help us to recognize the time of your coming to us. You are with us, God, and you are always here. So help us to pay attention to who you are. And Lord, help us to tell our story to others so that they too may recognize your presence in the world. They may recognize that you have come to save us. And may we honor you in all that we do and say. Amen.